Welcome to Podcast This Escape, the podcast where we talk about the escape room we escaped from in the previous episode of this podcast, and we did the escape.
Eventually.
Scott M., thanks for the room. Yes, it did take us a while, but thank you so much.
Quite welcome.
So tell us a little bit about your creation of this one.
What are we starting with?
Well, I mean, we start with kind of knowing we wanted to do a Comic-Con room when we did our last room, House Hunting. Mm-hmm. So, spoilers for the end of House Hunting. There's a post-credit where you have a little mini, very, very mini puzzle where the result of it is your birthday present is you get tickets to the Comic-Con and the Dr. Dynamo action figure.
Yeah.
Which you start off this room with. And then after that, it was just sort of, okay, what sort of things do you do at a Comic-Con?
Yep. we made this one pretty quickly compared to how...
Well, I think we kind of started some ideas, and then we just sort of put it aside for a while.
For almost like a whole year.
Almost like a whole year.
Yeah.
And then we went to the convention, and we were so, psyched up from going to the public convention. They were like, all right, let's go do this. And basically finished it, the rest of it, in a whole, week and a half.
I don't know, a week and a half.
You think
we made the room in, 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
And then... by the time the playtesting was done, and we'd gotten it into a state that we were ready to start showing it out to people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And you had to do all the art.
I did do all the art.
Mm-hmm.
Which took a while for this.
There's a lot of art.
There's a lot of art to do.
We tried to do a balance, I think, of puzzle and interaction.
Yeah.
For sure.
Stuff with this. So.
It definitely was a room... designed by people who've just been at a National Puzzlers League convention sort of thing. Because it had a lot of those that had that sort of lead up to Puzzle Hunt kind of flavor.
Yeah, it was definitely that sort of level, which not a surprise coming from you two. It took us a while. We haven't done that level of puzzles in a bit, I'd say.
Yes.
So it took us a while to pull ourselves into it.
And yeah, to get into the right mindset.
Sorry, I think the word pull has triggered me a little bit because I can see it on my page with a big X next to it because it wasn't a word of power.
Yeah, the word of power thing was interesting because it is one of those puzzles where it's so much a puzzle when you do it is these limiting factors, right? If you have a puzzle that you're doing very often, it's great, I've got three colors and I know that this is going to be a color-based puzzle. And when it comes to language, sometimes you get these things where where could it be? What level of, information am I looking for here? You know, and so we had that as you heard, it's there's three things that are powers. Are these the same thing, three versions? Is it three different qualities a thing can have? You know, because when you think of a word, there are a lot of elements to a word.
Turns out a word's got a lot of qualities to it.
Yeah.
We could have been talking about syllables, spelling, pronunciation, things that rhymes with semantic meaning, where it comes from, does the rule change based on what the last thing was, and all these literally. So finding them is because there's so many options for what things could possibly be true, it can be really hard to think which one is it. What are the changes?
Definitely the sort of puzzle that would be terrifying if we were playing with a time limit.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, so this is the basic idea of it was yours, right? You had suggested wanting to, we were thinking about what could we do in a LARPing area. And
I love the idea of it as throwing word spells at each other. Idea was fantastic.
Very
cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think it started as a rock, paper, scissors. Well, that's where...
Yeah, well, I mean, it is rock, paper, scissors.
It is rock, paper, scissors, yeah.
In fact, it's literally rock, paper, scissors. As you noted, R, rock, starts with R, and paper is a five-letter word, and scissors begins and ends the same letter.
That's...
So it is rock, so that is basically what you're playing. Now,
that
of course,
if
you can put out a word that has two properties, right, we have to kind of mix up the rules for rock, paper, scissors a little bit. So if you give something that is basically rock and paper, then the response is paper and scissors.
Right.
To cover the rock and to cut the paper from the other word. So roach, for example, is a rock word and a paper word. And then eel is a paper word and a scissors word. So that's
interesting because, yeah, it's like the sequencing is fundamental to the game. If you threw them out at the same time, you wouldn't know which necessarily beat the other because,
right,
or would you?
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, that's fun.
Wow.
Right. This is why we had the challenger always goes first, and the champion can always beat the challenger unless they come up with the triple word.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I mean, I guess anything to tie them, but
functionally, that is the way that it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So, right.
I mean, like, getting at the end, like, it was really hard to pin down, and it required, like, that sort of controlled, let's basically copy one of the other words and see where we can win or lose.
Right. But we really wanted this interactive puzzle in there where you have to explore it and...
And, yeah, you have to do things that are incorrect a lot of times to be able to figure out, like, what the correct answer is.
Yeah, the closest that I'd say I've seen to that in a real, in a physical escape room would be, I've seen Mastermind-style things of need to guess the combination, like the Wordle-style things, as more people probably know them now.
Mm.
This puzzle is the most stressful puzzle in all of my rooms for me. All of our rooms for me, because I have to like think on the fly. All right, so they gave me a 5-letter word.
Yeah,
I
can imagine.
Word that begins in certain letters, but I don't want it to be 5 letters also, because that would match it, or it can't start with R, right? And so it's like, and if you give a double word, that's even worse, because then I have to.
You have to suddenly solve a little puzzle yourself.
Exactly. Yeah,
you'll have like word lists pulled up on your computer sometimes, which you didn't do this time.
I didn't do it this time. I was being brave.
How fast is when you decided to be brave?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of just looking and staring. I felt really good when I noticed at one point, I didn't say this at the time because it went nowhere very fast, which, selfless, that's got elf in it. We're in a LARP area. This has got to be it.
Oh, no. And a bull. That's a mythical creature.
Yeah, sure. Elves beat bulls, right? And scallions. That's a food. Bulls would probably eat those.
Yeah, we've had people notice the food stuff in there. We've had people just sometimes just like randomly guess a word that's a triple word of power. And are like, oh, okay.
Well, that'd be quite something.
Congratulations. Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't do that. That would have been, I think.
The rules are specific enough that wouldn't be easy.
No, but it's interesting because like when you're solving a puzzle that's tough, sometimes there's nothing worse than just getting it right and not knowing why. You're like, wait, no, I wanted to keep getting it wrong to figure this out. Don't give me the win. I still don't know what I'm doing. And so it's good that we didn't accidentally throw out Rota.
Yeah, no, you got the whole thing. Once you gave your word, you were giving a very intentional triple word of power.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people will get two of them, and then sometimes they do just like stumble upon the third.
But yeah, just
once they get two, it's
figure that. Yeah, because it is interesting at the start there is that sort of like semantic connection. Like a rapscallion and a bully kind of have the same sort of idea.
Parsnips and rutabagas, sure.
Timon and Falstaff.
Yeah,
both being characters,
and yet this is very much how people would. To play this game, wouldn't it? But you wouldn't try
Roach and Eagle both animals.
Yeah, you wouldn't go completely random. Your head would follow on with what they've just said.
But so it kind of creates this like, is there a semantic part portion? Like, is the meaning relevant?
That was definitely worrying me.
And so, but yeah, it was definitely like, that was sort of the I wouldn't even say it took the longest, but it felt like the most major puzzle.
I think it did.
Well, we did spend a long time on Barack Obama. So this is the thing that happens to us a lot, right? We often, because, you know, we exist in a lot of puzzle spaces online and we see people posting puzzles and there's Enigma Arch puzzles and things like that. And the hardest thing is always when people post rebuses and they're American and we have to go, like, anytime we get stuck, we have to go, wait a minute. We have to try this again. Like you noticed, Danny, and go, if I do this in an American accent, is there something else to do with a rebus? Because there are certain vowels that are the same in American, like O and A being the same is a classic thing we have to always keep in mind. Because in America, an open R and an O, an open R sound, like that's the same sound.
The
that's
funnier
not true for
one
us.
For me was that, like, at least in Obama, it's a long A, so that's a little bit easier to put together with bomb. Rock, rackers, I don't know, like saying Barack Obama is pretty easy, even if I haven't looked into it in a while. Is it meant to be Barack, another long A?
Yeah, the idea that Barack Obama is the same as
that
Barack
Obama. That was more of a throw.
It's just this, and you get caught up in it. And it happens all the time. It happened once.
Oh, literally every time we do this.
Every time there are rebuses, you have to be like, wait. And recently, people I've seen in a puzzle forum
I'm part
of. Sometimes
New York Times Connections.
Oh, yes. New York Times Connection Center has that where they just say, like, these things all, like, rhyme with this. Like, no, they don't. Sorry, man. That's a lie.
We were talking before the episode a couple of days ago about, okay, well, what is in here that would mess up an Australian? And we went through all the ideas of it. It's like, well, the LARPing thing, that won't. And they should know who Barack Obama is. So that's not going to be a problem. Yeah. We just went through everything, but we didn't think about pronunciation.
And sometimes it is something, like I said, we've done this a lot and had this problem a lot. So it should be something we're used to by now.
And it is something you eventually clicked into.
It just can take longer to notice than it should.
Bomb is the same as bomb for bomber.
Oh. But then I was stuck in my own head trying to go, well, is the sheep actually saying ma?
Yeah. That's also an acceptable sheep set.
Maybe it's both. Yeah. Hold on, a female sheep isn't called a mare, is it? I didn't go into all of the different rapid-fire terrible thoughts that went through my head.
Yeah. I loved Miss I think my favourite of those was Miss Moneypenny. Because that was just slowly like, Missed her.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Money. Pen. There is a pen. All right, I miss Moneypenny. Oh, man, that was the most...
The stuff going on in the illustrations was... There was so much going on with them.
Mm.
And they were just relevant.
It was interesting because they were relevant, but they also weren't like necessarily like in order always. Like, so you sort of had to take all those elements and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it was grabbing elements.
So one of my favorite puzzles from Games Magazine back in the day was the Cartoon Rebus contest. And this is basically... cartoon rebuses, where basically you just have a bunch of pieces of, you know, an image with a bunch of stuff in it, and sometimes there's just letters, or sometimes there's dialogue pieces, and sometimes you're supposed to infer things from the picture, and just kind of put it together to meet the
Obviously, rebus is something we've done before. I don't know how much we've done ones in this exact form that has this many elements to it, and where you just have to take the pieces and then look at what you've got all together to arrange them in the way that you want.
You know what? It's a bit less like, it's weird. It's somewhere, but like slightly less like the normal rebuses that you see in just like, because they're often, you know, done as little line drawings, and a bit closer to the old TV show Catchphrase, where they had little full animated drawings of things that would represent a catchphrase.
Potentially. I see where you're coming from
with
that.
But yeah, but definitely like a harder level of them, because they were quite complicated or quite complex at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and actually like coming up with the drawings too was also hard just to figure out. It's like, okay, if we want this to be the answer, how the heck do we make this into like a superhero comic book?
Yes, true.
Yeah.
Holy grail.
Once we knew what we were looking for, that one was chill.
Yeah.
That one
luckily,
was there.
That was sort of balanced. Like, the ones that were harder to guess from the picture were easier to guess from the clue. Like, a world leader that fits that Barack, like we, as you heard, like we had that straight from the beginning. Like that's,
you got that very impressive.
Same with Holy Grail. I went Holy Grail. That's probably Holy Grail. That's probably Barack Obama. So even though they were probably the hardest for us to do rebus wise, that was more. We didn't need to. Like we could have just been like, it's probably Holy Grail. That's probably Barack Obama. It was just that we wanted to get every element. Like we knew it was Barack Obama for a while. We're like, no, where's? Let's make sure we have every single piece.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that was our own doing. Was trying to get you know. But yeah, I think that was that deliberate or just coincidental? Were they that like
the balance worked that way?
Yeah, for the balancing of them.
So we did want to have some clues that people would guess immediately, and so hopefully spot those aspects in the images. Even though usually it's Barbie that people get first, and you know then they see the B picture and they go, oh, B Barbie, and then they get it. Get it from that. Barack Obama, sometimes people get that one right away. Sometimes, you know, they get it more from the, after looking at the picture a little bit and kind of sounding out pieces of it.
Yeah, I did panic for a moment. I was like, is Barbie, was that just like not as big of a thing? Like in Australia?
No, it's huge and big.
Oh,
and just,
no, yeah, it just, was certainly as big.
Just lost track of what movies exist.
Yeah, we just, literally go to the movies twice a year.
Also, Barbie feels like it came out so long ago now.
Yeah.
So much. We've been very, very busy lately. And so time has sort of like compressed in an odd way for us, where it's like, that was only 2 weeks ago, but I've done like 8 projects in those 2 weeks. What's happening? And so it feels like Barbie was literally like 18 months ago.
The fact that the Oscars still haven't happened is astonishing.
It's all very confusing timeline-wise.
So Barack Obama, that's 6'5"?
Yes.
Just, that's exactly the same. Joseph Biden, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We could do a few of these.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there are quite a few.
And maybe other
George
ones, I don't know.
Bush.
Who have our people been lately?
Yeah, Anthony Albanese is definitely not 6'5".
Scott Morrison.
We've got long surnames.
Interesting. Tonith Abbott.
Anthony Blair.
Ah.
Maybe Tony Blair is an Anthony. I don't know. He could be.
Oh, Rishi Probably. Sunak's close.
Rishi Sunak. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else was there? The First Aid Marvel. That was... Well, okay, so we actually recently, we were doing a guest room that was written for us years ago. It was really old. It was sent to us quite a long time ago. And we never did it because it was sort of sent partially to run the room and partially to read it and see if it was good. It was all very, but eventually we ran it. It took us like 6 years. And finally went, you know, we're gonna run this room. And I ran the room for Danny and for Matt Yule as well. And it was great fun. We ran through it. And in that room was one of my favorite puzzles that we've had on the show, which we've now basically had again. It was a series of pangrams with a single letter missing.
And even though the word onyx was in yours, didn't spot it right away.
I think it's because usually you see onyx and
your
you think...
Your clues were too reasonably contextual. Well,
yeah,
they made so much sense.
There are certain words that you see in a pangram where you think, that's a pangram word. Onyx, that's a pangram word. Except there was this alternate explanation, which was, oh, you're just trying to do superheroes in different words, so it didn't set off as many
you
alarm bells.
You were wildly effective. I don't know how you managed to do that.
Yeah, because usually you see it and you're like, done. But it's like, oh, no, that's just meant to be Black Widow. We have Onyx Bride. Great. Okay, wonderful.
So many of the word choices should be suspect, but you made them contextually not at all.
Yes,
I don't understand.
Well, Dr. Y, you know, missing an E, that is a very difficult one to do.
Sure, and rhomboid? No, that's a perfectly normal word in this context.
Yes, doing it without an E is tough.
Showing, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, Jumbo IMAX, yeah.
Perfect. But yeah, so it was...
Would IMAX normally set off people's alarm bells as an unusual one to use, or is that perfectly normal for you?
I think it's very
so
normal.
Completely normal for us.
But being at a slide jumbo in there is a great way to get some extra.
Didn't occur to me.
But no, that was great. And so I read that, and I think I remember, I don't know if I commented on the episode, but I think I did in the post show mention, or maybe just to you, I was like, this pangram thing, that feels like a bit of a Weiss puzzle.
Oh,
I can
maybe.
Imagine them putting that into one of their rooms. And then you did. So I do love that time. And it took us ages to see it. Again, just because
you don't want to see it right away.
No,
yeah,
exactly,
I mean,
right? It was this like we were finally brought down to can we find
if
a
if we had seen it right away and found the password out of it right away and then used it 40 minutes later, we would have felt pretty bloody good.
But yeah, no, it's great fun. I still feel like we could have just borrowed that guy's sword. We didn't need to pretend to be. Although, but we needed the security badge, even if he'd agreed. We needed the security badge to find out what we needed to cut, which was nice.
Oh,
we need to get in the security room to find
not
that.
The badge,
and without the badge, he would not have talked to you. You just ignored
him. We're a cool person.
Yeah.
Are we?
Everyone loves
us. He is very self-absorbed. If you had actually tried to talk to him, he would just like.
Yeah.
He's just mansplaining his costume to everyone around him and not listening.
Surely would have mocked our half-finished Dr. Dynamo costume.
Yeah, what a loser. Yeah. No, it was all very lovely.
So with the card house, there is an alternate solution, which no one ever does, which is there's that tablecloth that goes down to the bottom. So the idea is you take your staff and you kind of just use the lightning bolt on the top of the staff to hook the tablecloth and you pull it. And that's what brings everything down.
Well, the
but
problem
people like
is
to just kind of push the button and shoot the staff out. Mm.
Yeah.
And
the
and
problem
use that.
Is we're just really good at that tablecloth trick, so
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, if
would
we
have
pulled
fallen.
The tablecloth out, the card would have stayed standing.
Oh, I see.
Yes,
but yeah,
we're perfectly aware of that solution, but
yeah, there's some other puzzle, and then the glasses. There are multiple ways that people like make the glasses, which
right. So yeah. One of the ways that we are trying to do with the hole punch that the person is holding at the front,
yeah,
can be used to punch holes in the cups.
You just were interested the, in that.
To thread the straps through. And make it from that.
Fair enough.
But you had an alternate,
which is interesting because we also had another room recently with a similar sort of vibe of this. It was set in a classroom, and it had an arts and crafts vibe. So a lot of the stuff in the mm-hmm. room was just like, oh, that's just there in case you thought you would want to use that to do this, mm-hmm. or oh, there were some pens. Maybe you wanted to do it with pens in this case, you know. But you use this and that, and so there was a lot of like arts and crafts supplies throughout the room that were just.
Mm-hmm. There's a thing that you like need that to make intimidates later. Intimidates me a bit. I was very fixated on what I wanted to do with this, but...
So there was actually originally an arts and crafts table in this room. At the kids' area, it was originally an arts and crafts table. I don't remember why we changed it to a first aid kit.
Harder to lock up the
just because
station.
We had multiple ways to cut things, right? Yeah. So we had the hole punch, which actually originally was a parking validation thing rather than an actual person. And that felt a little weird. And then we had the scissors to cut the straps, and then we had the sword to cut. So there's like lots of ways to cut things, and it just felt like lots of just different places to go. And so we just let's just condense this to the first aid kit to kind of put stuff in there, right? I think we just like had it for glue, basically.
Yeah,
like, to glue the DDs onto your chest, and then it's like, well, let's just put tape into the just to simplify it.
There's some gauze stick. There's some sticky.
Maybe. Right. I don't know.
But that's a thing.
And we went with reversible band-aids.
Yeah.
I was happy. I'm always happy to get a chance to mildly show off going through the alphabet backwards.
I was very impressed at that. I was going to comment on it that I was, because I could not do that. So I was impressed that you
were. That's taken a lot of training.
I can barely go through the alphabet forwards.
Gotta sing the song.
Yeah, I have to sing the song to figure what letter is next. Yeah.
I was also particularly, I can't do it so much talking. I am definitely still doing the song, just backwards.
that's still impressive. I cannot do it backwards.
I was also very happy that when it did, it took us obviously a long time to figure out all of the pun-y, rebus-y covers, but... The fact that just going right away to, the issues and the months are going to be important for ordering in some fashion. And it wasn't, again, for like another hour, but
yeah, true.
I was glad it was there because that would have been horrible as a thing to miss. That would have been difficult.
I feel like there was some other thing that changed during playtesting this game that I'm trying to remember. What was it? There was some, we changed the LARPing puzzle. Because I think we had to make it easier. We had to add more hints, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, we made the opening.
We added more to the opening. Because it was, like, it's hard now. It was so much harder on the first run through of...
Was it just a blank, like, you have to go up first? And just start picking words?
A couple of clues, but not nearly as much. There was a lot more... clues that we added in about how the game works.
A
double word of power, and then what is a double word of power, and then
Without that, that would have been
because
it is, because it's like the more information you can give the better, because like otherwise there's so many possibilities that people can just come up with, right? Because like solving the game almost becomes just, hey, make a word game. It's like, I can make a word game in which, like, you know, like, how many times have you ever seen those puzzles where they need to be like, it's about the number of strokes it takes to write the letter?
Definitely was
relevant,
considering
right?
that briefly.
Where, like,
I went through
a
lots
W
of things.
Counts as four and an E counts as like
was trying
four,
to
but sometimes two.
Writing them in little letters versus capital letters.
Yeah, and so there's like
so
people make
elements.
All of these things out of word games that, like, for all you know, it's like, okay, cool, it's about, you know, words that are, like, we just had a whole thing that was built around words that if they're lowercase versions are flippable in a mirror, right? That was the word game that we were playing. It was, you know, the word pupil becomes liquid because if you lowercase all the capital letters and flip them around, they become a, right? So there's an infinite number of things you can do with a word game, pretty much. So, like,
and trying to figure out the appropriate number and difficulty of clues to give to help hone in, that's not an easy challenge you set for yourself, let alone for us.
Yeah, so more is so important. I can see how you had to add a lot more to that, just because you need, because it's the first thing you can do to, like, actually start letting people eliminate ideas. Because there's so many ideas that you could possibly have. And yeah, if we didn't know that it was like three elements and that they beat each other and that one of these things had to double, we would have been here for 10 days.
Yeah.
Slowly coming up with our own, because it's good. Yeah, because at that point it is like, design your own word game and see if it's the same game as ours. We'll keep telling you whether or not it is. So yeah, I think the more clues definitely, like, if we had less of this, it would have been quite tough.
Well, the other change was the belt used to be gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And we were doing the end game, you know, we came up with this end game puzzle and we were going through and said, oh wait, we forgot the gloves.
Yeah, we just forgot about
we forgot the glove.
We did the first one through.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, what should they do with the gloves in this? Like, we had no idea, no real good thing to do with the gloves. And we said, well, let's just change it to a belt.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be really easy to do that because it was just in the bouncy house. It's like, all right, never mind.
But it is true. I forgot about the cape, but I was like, we need to use the belt still. Like, we have to use the belt.
I'm glad I have them as a nice list of the things that we had. I really like that. I thought that was super cool to be able to use all of the elements again at the end. That was really nice.
But also, not just using them at the end, it's a really nice way to set the room up. It's like, here's your goal. Oh, you need to achieve it? Here are the six things that you must collect to achieve it.
Sure.
Now just go. And that was quite a fun way to kind of organize the room. Be like, what do we need left? Let's tick that off. We've achieved one of our six goals. Like, that little puzzle section is complete. It was a nice way to structure the room.
The fact that they end up being somewhat functional, and it also feels like, oh yeah, this is probably a thing. I don't know how campy Dr. Dynamo is as a series, but like, if we're talking 60s level camp, you could totally see this is how they solve their problems.
Also, you had an electric light machine. So, ELO, if you're out there, sue the Weisses.
I think that, and then the other, the puzzle that had the problems is, so the Pangrams puzzle, it took two run-throughs for us to realize that one of them had two letters missing.
Oh, yes. That was the same problem
same,
that the last
Same thing that the last one had. They sent in them, and I tested them. Before running it. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I tested it because one of these is missing three letters and one of these isn't missing any letters. Or is that like?
Apparently it's really hard.
It's incredibly. Yes. So
I think we had an of problem or something.
Yeah.
In one of
yeah.
Them,
you know, that's how they get. Yeah. Same with this one. Like, it's all these little things. Even when people were playing them, like, we luckily kind of got all of ours right. But I remember running the other one and them just being like, okay, there are no Fs. And I went, aren't there? And then, okay, there is an F. All right. Well, there are no E's. Are you sure? Okay, that one does have an E, but there are definitely no W's. Yeah, that one's correct, right? So yeah, writing them is hard as well. You need a second set of eyes, or you need to take a little break, come back and recheck and be like, wait a minute.
I think more than the E one, I'm impressed that you managed to get the whole thing without an R in it for the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, like, because I did the puzzle first to make sure it was good, and then we went through the first playtesting, we were like, okay, we did it, we managed to do all the letters, and then by the time we got to our second playtesting, we were like, oh, apparently we cannot know our letters.
Yeah, especially later on when we think we know what the word is, so we're not looking at all the letters, we're like, is there an L? Yeah. Nope, there's no L, let's throw it in. And it's like, you also, because we were just looking for one, we didn't notice that there was also no F.
And just so your listeners don't call in to complain, the quick uses the quick as part of the pangram for the cue, I think.
I wondered if the titles were included.
Ah, fair.
But you're right. I didn't check. I didn't check to confirm.
Calling to sue us.
Oh, right. Well, sure. Well, that too.
Yeah.
But no, it was a lot of fun. It took a while to lock into, oh, that's right, these are going to be like puzzles. And to kind of get into that mindset.
I think the toughest part is getting into, because your puzzles are challenging, figuring out which ones are self-contained challenging. And which ones have other elements to them and which ones should be paired up in that way.
Yeah, because that's always the thing, like, especially, like, you know, for anyone who's done puzzle hunts, there's this thing of, like, they'll go, here's all the information. You go, no, that's not all the information. That can't be. They're like, yeah, it is. It's just four pictures of the Eiffel Tower from different angles. Go, give me a one-word solution. You're like, what? Give me a one-word solution? And so, you know, you have these things of, like, you know they're so hard, but you go, like, I know I've got everything. And this one, like, you know, we saw the very first one was the series of cryptic crossword clues with numbers. And we're like, okay, this could have been all the information. It's like sometimes if that was a puzzle hunt, that's all they'd give you. They'd be like, go.
Yeah. And I was a hint worried about leaving that one because like, there was always a chance that it had enough.
I thought the same thing. I was like, we'll leave it for now, but we're just going to come back and have to solve it later. Like, it's definitely self-contained. And then later on be like, oh, wait a minute. It's not going to be self-contained, which is much more of an escape room logic thing to do. But it was sometimes kind of difficult to find, like, is this going to be puzzle hunt style? Is it just so hard that I haven't seen how to solve it by itself? Or do I use my escape room logic and think, that doesn't look solvable by itself? I suppose that's sometimes the trickiness about making puzzles more complex is, you know, we can't rely necessarily on that escape room learned language of, that doesn't look solvable. Sometimes it will be, you know? Because that was definitely tripping us up, was the connections between things to help
definitely
know which clues all went together.
Whew.
But once we found it, hey, it all came together very well.
In the end.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're giving hints, that's always a very easy thing to hint, is like, you don't have quite enough information for this yet.
Yes.
You'd be like, all right, wonderful. Mm. And we give that hint a lot, right? Mm. People who will sit and look at a puzzle for ages. Because, like I said, like we have to relearn some of our language for escape rooms to fit this exact like format, or like you know, or apply it slightly differently. Some people, you know, haven't learned our language of escape rooms, and they'll come on our show and they'll be like, "Okay, this must be solvable," and they'll spend 20 minutes looking at it, and we eventually just have to go, "You're missing like 7 clues. Please put this aside. That's the meta. Come back later." And so it's a common thing all the time, right?
Absolutely.
You have to get your head into the right gear.
And I thought I thought by 5 or 6 rooms in, I would be fully in tune to your gears, and yet I'm still not there yet.
We just have to remind ourselves. We had to warm back up. We're like, wait a minute, so it's Weiss room. We've got to change.
I was totally doing that. I was absolutely trying to put myself into the Weiss space.
Well, hope you enjoyed your visit to the Weiss space.
I've written happy kid equals belt
I've just drawn a sad kid saying BP. A bronze person. Thank you so much for noticing that the shoes had different lightning bolts on them.
I knew it from the beginning.
I didn't notice that
until
one bit.
And then at the end, it's like, oh, 2, 3, and 5. That makes sense. Let me just double check.
But made perfect sense.
It was in my
didn't
head from
say
the very
it.
Beginning.
Good job.
Which is nice. And I like those little subtle sort of visual
absolutely.
Clues.
Absolutely.
Searchy clues and finding what
connects
to whatever.
Incredibly reasonable.
Great fun. There was, that pragmatic thing of like, oh no, how do we get these? Was there another source of bronze person imagery other than those old things?
From the comic book.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because, I think I sort of went, oh, so we're going to have to like solve these for that, but why are there so many of them? So maybe this is maybe I've just happened upon another picture of bronze person.
Yeah.
This is a little mini bit of reuse.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, reuse. Especially because we didn't actually reuse any of the puzzles.
It wasn't really reused.
No, right?
Not at all.
I was just remembering that we might have a phone camera.
I did think of that. And if you hadn't been able to just say, hey, can I have an old picture? I was going to argue the point of, so do I have my phone? And how mad will they get at me for taking photos of their old documents?
Yes, because you feel like you're breaking it if you introduce your own phone. Be like, am I breaking? Could I Google Words of Power game, see if someone's written the rules up on a forum? it feels, but it's like people do this on Taskmaster.
Yeah,
where
some people don't like it when they hack it by using their phones.
And lots of contestants on that show have said like, of course I had my phone, but it didn't feel like that would be allowed. And it's like, it is. No one ever told you not to use it. It's like, but it didn't feel right. It feels like I'm cheating if I bring out my phone.
Have you done an escape room where they have specifically said, oh yeah, absolutely, take your phone?
I think we did.
Really?
Didn't we do one at the, we did, yeah, we must have done one at the Escape This Frederick, because they told us to bring our, that was the one with the QR code.
Oh, there was a QR, but they specifically said that you don't use your phone for anything else.
Right.
Yeah, so they were like, you can use it, but only for this one specific thing.
Right.
Whereas I remember we got quite, at first confused, and then later on, for me personally, a little bit bothered by a puzzle game that we were playing as a puzzle game on the computer, just like an adventure puzzle game, going through solving puzzles with a character, and finding QR codes in the game and thinking like, okay, we're going to have to get like a thing in the game that will allow us to scan those codes. And the game was like, no, just use your phone. Like, hold your phone up to the computer monitor, scan them. It's a QR code. You should see a QR code and bring your own phone out. And I was like, what are you... No, I see a QR code in the game and I wait for my character to get a phone.
It also, it did not feel like the sort of game that was going to go meta like that.
Yeah, but it was like
it did not
meta.
Feel like that was...
And I don't think the QR code solved any puzzle. I think they were full of fun, weird little side information.
Yeah.
But it was just like that moment was like, well, I never have thought... Like, I know I have my phone. I know it reads QR and I know I can see a QR code, but I'm playing a video game. He needs a phone, not me.
I think at one point, maybe once in real life, we've been told, oh, yes, absolutely take your phone with you. Mm. And there was a point where you needed to scan something or do a form online in the middle of the room. I can't remember what it was for the life of me.
Mm.
But I remember that was just a very, like, setting off weird alarm bells in your head. And suddenly it's all I'm thinking
suppose,
about.
Like, things like that are kind of hard to introduce. Obviously, in this case, it was fine. Like, our character has a phone. He can use his phone. That's perfectly reasonable. But I think things like that are hard, like, and you're, like, breaking the sort of the meta of the room. Because the same person who's like, why don't I use my phone to solve this QR code in an escape room? It's like, well, why don't I use my boot to kick down the door to the escape room? I have other tools at my disposal. I was agreeing not to use them for the game. Like, you know, it's like, it's an interesting balance. Like, using my phone to use QR codes on a computer puzzle game, it's like, well, I can use my phone to Google the answers to all the puzzles in the puzzle game. I can just get a walkthrough. Like, if you want me to use my phone, we've already agreed I don't use it to its full power. You want me to use it to a small portion of its power.
Is there any video game that has done that? That their
forces
official,
you to use a walkthrough?
Their official walkthrough is a necessary component.
Yeah, that's called every single game released in the early 90s. They used it as a way to prevent video game piracy.
Yep.
It was a whole big thing. There were so many puzzle games where you get to a point, they'd be and now the answer is on page 8 of the booklet. You're like,
Good point.
Page 8 of the booklet? I'm just going to shareware copy on a floppy disk that was pirated. I can't, man, it worked. Couldn't have
solved
it.
I wouldn't know, I didn't pirate my games and I always read the booklets.
I did read a lot of game booklets as a child.
Well,
look, thank you so much for coming on and running the room. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you
it
so
was
much.
Good puzzly brain work. Kapow.
Yeah, it definitely, more than the last one we did, makes me feel like, yeah, I need to turn my brain back on. I've been coasting.
Fun fact, the solution of kapow leads to our original solution of arrrr, which we got from those posters originally.
Yeah.
They play off each other. It's a secret hint that was built into the posters.
Well, I think there's only one real way to end this episode. And that is talk love to man like in pirate.
So all these hidden solutions. Well, thank you so much for coming on and running that for us. If people You're want welcome. To check out more of what you've done or what you've made, where should people go?
So website squonkland.net, and you can find out about our escape rooms there. We've got a new... never mind. So squonkland.net is where to go to find out more information about
Wonderful.
Us.
And again, we've talked about the fact that I don't quite know when this episode will be released, so who knows what's going to be on the website by the time it comes out. Thank you so much for running the room. Thank you, Danny, for playing along with me and solving puzzles.
Yeah, thank you.
You were much more helpful at solving puzzles in this one. You were worried you weren't going to solve them, but you did great.
I appreciate it.
Did better than I did.
Oh.
And thank you, everybody at home, for listening. If you want to support the show, the easiest first thing to do is tell a friend. Tell someone about the show. Spread the word. Email people. Send one of those old chain emails. It's like, if you don't forward this to 10 people... you'll lose all your money and your house will explode. Oh no, you have to, it's the curse of the girl who drowned in the house. Ooh, send it to 10 people to get rid of the curse. But make it about Escape This Podcast. Be like, if you don't listen to 10 episodes of Escape This Podcast and then send this email to 100 people, oh, all of your doors will lock forever. It's the curse of the girl who drowned in the escape room.
I've just read like the very first opening segment to House of Leaves, and I think this might be how that book works.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the best way to support the show. You can also help support us financially. If you sign up for the Patreon, that's, we don't run ads on the show, which is how we make money through Patreon. So it helps us, you know, keep the show going. That's our main source of our income right now, and keeps us being able to make cool stuff, and keeps everybody being able to listen to free podcast episodes. And in return, anyone who donates at any level can appear as an NPC in one of Danny's rooms.
Thank you, Dr. Dynamo.
That's not true.
Your donations.
There's no Dynamo on the Patreon. This is a bonus episode. There's a new weekly show every week. A weekly show every week for our $5 donors.
That's convenient.
Listen to behind-the-scenes audio, us solving little two-minute mysteries, cryptic crosswords, and fun, weird stuff like that. There's a monthly vlog for the $10 donors, which for a while has been reacting to escape rooms in pop culture, which has been great fun. There's trivia for $20 donors. $50 donors can help playtest solve this murders and things like that. So it's a great way to help support us and keep the community going and the shows growing and going and doing and being. So thank you, everybody who supports on Patreon. That's it. No. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.